And from the KTOO newsroom, I'm Yvonne Crumery. Supporters of mariculture in Alaska are working to build a $100 million industry out of shellfish and seaweed over the next two decades. They're meeting up at the University of Alaska Mariculture Conference in Juneau this week to talk about how to get there. The Juneau Economic Development Council is hosting the conference. Executive Director Brian Holst says mariculture is a good long-term investment for the state.
It is an industry that's sustainable for Alaska and can create jobs in not just in communities, not just in places like Juneau, but in rural areas throughout Southeast. And anything that's good for communities around Southeast Alaska is also good for Juneau.
The University of Alaska is sponsoring the three-day event. President Pat Pitney says the universe is all in on mariculture.
If I leave you anything in this room today, that Alaska needs to be on the world map for mariculture. We can be. We have more resources. We have better people. I wouldn't say better people. We have people who are better prepared and more willing to work for it. And that's going to get us there.
The university is developing academic programs in mariculture for its undergraduates and now offers a master's in marine policy. Julie Decker directs the Alaska Fisheries Development Foundation, a nonprofit that supports fisheries. She says mariculture is a way to grow seafood opportunities in the state.
This incredible once-in-a-lifetime opportunity has to be balanced with a sense of responsibility. The urgency needs to be balanced with equity. And so the real challenge that's before us is figuring out how to do things better than we've done them in the past.
There's $32 million in mariculture research over the next decade coming from the settlement from the Exxon Valdez oil spill. An additional $50 million could come from the federal government and $25 million in matching funds from the state. In other news, a Juneau-based airline is adding a new daily circuit that'll connect Wrangell, Sitka, and Petersburg. As KSDK's Sage Smiley reports, Alaska Seaplanes says the new Southeast route will start flying May 26th.
The smallest of the buildings at Wrangell's small airport is a brown and white trailer. As of now, it's pretty much empty. It used to be the U.S. Customs Office, but it's currently owned by Alaska Seaplanes, which plans to start using it next month.
That right now looks kind of retro 60s, but we're going to try to update it and get it ready for service.
Andy Klein is the marketing manager for the Juneau-based airline that, despite its name, operates mostly wheel-based turboprops.
You know, every time we get to a new route, it's really like kind of starting a new business. You know, you have to get people there and train up, and we're having discussions as basic as we need stairs. You know, we need, what vehicle should we have there? You know, de-icer, all that stuff goes into starting up even just a one-stop daily route. So it's an exciting time for us, and we think it's going to be a really important link for the people of Wrangell.
Alaska Seaplanes says it aims to begin flying the route May 26th. The daily flight will depart Sitka at 1 p.m. in the afternoon, touching down in Petersburg and Wrangell before returning to Sitka by 3 p.m. Alaska Seaplanes already has flights that run to and from Petersburg and Sitka, but Wrangell is the new addition, the company's 15th Southeast community it will serve.
There's a lot of travel that goes, commerce and people that goes back and forth between Wrangell and a lot of other communities in Southeast, especially Sitka, Petersburg, that kind of route. So there's been a need for a long time.
Alaska Seaplanes started twice daily flights between Petersburg and Juneau a little over a year ago. Wrangell is currently served by twice daily Alaska Airlines jets, one northbound, one southbound. Alaska Seaplanes won't be operating on that kind of a scale.
I mean, our planes are 9-passenger planes, you know, so it's a very small segment, but it's a needed segment, especially when we're talking about medical transport for people. Sometimes that very direct route is really a lifeline for people to get the medical attention they need.
Klein says the Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium, which owns and operates Wrangell's hospital, had asked the company to look into setting up a route linking Wrangell and Sitka, where Search is headquartered.
They've had this request in to us for a while now, and we just had to, as you can imagine, there's a lot to work through to get airplanes into scheduled service into a community. We've had to work through that for the last year or so.
While the company is called Alaska Seaplanes, Wrangell won't be receiving new floats. Klein says the route will be run by one of two planes. One could be the Cessna 208B Grand Caravan.
they're really a great versatile airplane, especially for conditions in Southeast Alaska. They can take off and land in sort of shorter conditions and with lower visibility than a lot of other airplanes. So they're a great airplane.
The airline also operates Pilatus PC-12s, which are faster. Klein describes them as the Ferraris of the Alaska Seaplanes fleet, flying 300 miles per hour with pressurized cabins. Both planes carry 9 passengers, but either way, it'll be less than an hour's flying time between legs. Alaska Seaplanes hasn't published its new fares yet.
We want our pricing to be competitive, so you know we're still working on that. The pricing will be a little dynamic.
Other than office preparations, Klein says everything else is pretty much in place to begin running flights on May 26th.
You know, maybe get the shag carpeting out of there. I don't know. Maybe we'll keep the shag. We'll see what kind of condition it's in.
In addition to Alaska Airlines jet service, Wrangell also has one air charter, Sunrise Aviation, but it doesn't run scheduled flights. In Wrangell, I'm Sage Smiley.
Alaska Seaplanes plans to start running flights from Wrangell to Sitka starting May 26th. Find more information about Alaska Seaplanes flight schedules at flyalaskaseaplanes.com. State officials are investigating human remains discovered Monday by crews working on the Haines Highway project. As KHNS's Corinne Smith reports, authorities aren't sure exactly what they found, but have paused construction in the area in the meantime.
Anytime human remains are discovered on a work site, it triggers an investigation. Department of Transportation spokesperson Sam Dapsovich says Monday was no exception when crews doing excavation work on the Haines Highway made a discovery.
When we do locate human remains, we have a policy and a plan for each project, and specifically any remains that we locate are treated with dignity and respect.
Dapsovich says they are not disclosing the location to protect the site. He said Wednesday the area has been marked off and work in the area has been stopped to prevent further disturbance.
We immediately notify the state troopers, the Missing Persons Bureau, the Alaska State Medical Examiner, the Haines Police Department, the Alaska Office of History and Archaeology, and the local tribes.
The first step is determining whether the remains are recent or historic, according to John Kaidon, a DOT project manager. If relatively recent, it could be evidence of a crime. Law enforcement and the medical examiner's offices will work to identify the individual and see if it's related to a missing persons or even a murder case. If the remains are from antiquity, a cultural and archaeological investigation will take place in coordination with local tribal governments. In this case, that'd be the Chilkoot Indian Association and the Chilkat Indian Village of Klukwan. Chilkoot Indian Association President James Hart says his phone rang Tuesday morning.
I drove out there to speak with the archaeologist to kind of figure out, are these human remains and where they came from.
Hart says the tribe has a formal agreement with state agencies and federal highway officials that guide what happens next.
Chilkoot Indian Association and Chilkat Indian Village and the state will come together and convene and figure out wishes of the tribe and how to handle the remains.
To date, officials have released little information about the nature of the remains. DOT has also not said when work will resume on the Haines Highway project, which is to upgrade the highway to a 55-mile-per-hour design standard by realigning, widening, and straightening portions of the roadway. The project is expected to be completed in September. In Haines, I'm Corinne Smith.
Senator Lisa Murkowski's re-election campaign reports that she has raised more than $1.5 million in the first 3 months of the year. That brings her total campaign receipts to nearly $6 million. Her best-funded challenger, Kelly Shibaka, hasn't yet reported her results for the quarter. The filing deadline is tomorrow. As of last year, she's raised $1.8 million. Both candidates are Republicans. Shibaka has attacked Murkowski for her moderate views, such as her vote to confirm Ketanji Brown Jackson to the U.S. Supreme Court. Shibaka has the endorsement of former President Donald Trump and the state Republican Party. Murkowski is running for her fourth full term. In addition to her campaign, she has another fund called a Leadership PAC that has $500,000 in it, and allies are raising money to make independent expenditures to promote her reelection. While she doesn't have support from the state party, Murkowski has the backing of National Republicans' senatorial committee, which spends millions to keep Republicans in office. As for the weather, tonight's expecting to stay mostly clear with a low of 30 degrees. The sunny weather may hold out through tomorrow with a high of 45. This is KTOO.